but on their own, end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God. Do you see how easy it would be for us to start to get into works, and then we end up ignoring God? So if you think about it, you're absorbed in self and ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he's doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. Amen to that. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ's. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to get to go through the good times with him. You are not saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. So I read the message because, to me, it just really highlighted what God has done for us. And the one thing that I got out of that a lot, too, was it's a balancing act with, you know, what I said there. You're not saved for good works, I mean by good works, but you are saved for good works. Good works does not get you to heaven. Asking Jesus in your heart and going to heaven is a free gift. If you say yes to him, if you say yes to Jesus, that you believe in who he is, and that you decide to submit your life to him, that you are going to heaven. Okay? So there's not one single thing you could do. You can't jump high enough. You can't be good enough. You're not saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. So once I ask Jesus into my heart, then works should start to be part of that relationship with God. I don't ask Jesus in my heart and then go join and then start teaching children's church and do the soundboard and sing on the choir and all that kind of stuff. God wants me to sit down with him and have a cup of coffee. And that's real uncomfortable for some of us. Because then you might actually hear something. And sometimes it might be a little bit of a rebuke. It's not always, you know, patting on you. But I promise you this, he loves you too much to leave you where you are. And all his rebukes are all wrapped up in love. And it's all about pulling you towards him, never making you feel condemned, just convicted. And so he just wants to pull you in. And for some of us, that's a hard thing to do, especially if you had a earthly daddy that wasn't a very good earthly daddy. Maybe you didn't have one. Maybe he was a jerk. Maybe he spent a lot of time in front of the TV. Maybe he never ever told you he loved you. And then, of course, we're immediately going to compare God to our earthly daddy, aren't we? And so there's some rubbish and trash we got to get out and get out of the way, because poor God is guilty by association a lot of times, right? I know for a long time I was sexually abused by my dad. So when I asked Jesus in my heart, when somebody would say, "Oh, I just see myself sitting on Father God's lap." Okay, When I sat on my daddy's lap, that wasn't a good thing when I was little. But as I've received healing, I can absolutely see myself sitting in Father God's lap. Does that make sense? So as we grow in Christ, this is a co-laboring. We co-labor with God. We're not going to just ask Jesus in our heart and everything goes away. All our bad memories, all our bad events, all those walls we have up, that's not how it works. Hence why we're into session 5, spiritual warfare. All right? Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, the message, and that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no weekend war. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Stop. The devil, Satan himself, is nothing but a fallen angel. And then a third of the angels went with him. They got tossed out, okay, because he wanted to usurp God. Not a good idea, okay? But a lot of times when we read this, we can get very intimidated when we don't know our authority in Christ by that kind of statement. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. All I'm going to say is the devil and his angels are 24/7. They know the end of the book, and what they want is your faith. And they'll do whatever they can to try to get it. But all I'm saying to you is you are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You are living from heaven. Therefore, if they're underneath Jesus' feet, they're underneath your feet because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. So the only way the enemy can have any foothold or any type of jurisdiction in your life is you gave it to him. Hence, why you're going to learn this and you're going to remove it. You're going to say, I'm taking that back. I did not know I was giving you that, and we're going to take that back. Only way the enemy has a right to you, to a Christian, is because you've given him one. And we'll see what those rights are in a second. Be prepared. You are up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. So I gave a good example of, Mary had asked me that question about how I made it through those 3 nights at the hospital and the pain I was in and being neglected and all the stuff that went with all that. And what did I say? This is how I made it through. When I was down and out, you guys prayed for me. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. You didn't let me fall behind. You didn't let me drop out. I was too sick, too much pain to fight at all. I sang Jesus Loves Me when it came to me. It's like, yeah, okay, I think I could squeak that out. Okay. This is a war. And when you learn how powerful your prayers are, you'll pray more. So the first thing you talk about is the helmet of salvation. Okay? The helmet of salvation. And there's some scripture references there. And that's supposed to be one of your tools. Okay? And so, of course, the helmet of salvation, it's covering your head. Where's all the warfare? Between your ears. And so the helmet covers the head. When we ask Jesus in our heart, we get this helmet, clunk, and it's called the helmet of salvation. And so how do we learn all about that? How do we learn about Jesus? If you notice that all the weapons of the warfare are all spelled up on what? They're all spelled out on what? An open Bible. The word is wrapped up in every single piece of the armor. Every single piece of the armor is wrapped up with the word. The helmet of salvation, you know, you found out about Jesus maybe through somebody. And if they knew about Jesus, they had to find out through something. It had to be the word. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing through the word. The belt of truth, that's wrapped around your core. The belt back in the days when this was written was large and it covered the front end, the vulnerable area on the soldiers. So it actually came around like this and then actually came down like that. And it was strong enough to hold your weapon, your sword, and all that kind of stuff. The belt of truth. You don't have the truth, you got nothing to hold your weapons. You're going to find out that without the word, 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 you're probably a very weak warrior. The word is very important. The breastplate of righteousness, that was imputed to you by Jesus Christ. The righteousness of Christ got put on you when you asked Jesus in your heart. So this breastplate got put right on you. And where did it get put on? What's the breastplate cover? The heart. The heart. And are we supposed to trust our heart? No, we're not. Can't trust that thing as far as we can throw it. That's exactly right. Okay, so we have to tend to our heart. We have to watch our heart very, very carefully because it'll fool us. Okay? But Christ's righteousness is over our heart. Christ is trying to say, I got this. You'll just have to call on me. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Remember, when we ask Jesus in our heart, Holy Spirit comes in and lives inside of us with all these tools, which are useless if we don't pick them up and use them. Right? Okay? So your belt of truth, what does it look like? If you've been in the Word very little, your belt of truth is probably a little skinny rope that can't hold a sword on it. And, you know, I don't know. What does your helmet look like? What did the breastplate of righteousness? That one's a given for you. It's Jesus' righteousness. The gospel of peace. That's supposed to be for your shoes. You're carrying the gospel of peace. Can you imagine fighting barefoot? Peace. And what's peace? Where do we find peace? In the Word. God is the Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word is God. Shield of faith. God gives every one of us a measure of faith. Every single one of us gets a measure of faith. But are we supposed to do it? Do we do anything? We just take that measure and hang on to it? Are we supposed to do anything with it? Are we supposed to increase our most holy faith? Yes. And the sword of the Spirit. It's the only weapon that is offensive. It's the only weapon that is offensive. Okay? So that you can go after the enemy. So what is your armor look like? So I have just a couple pieces of armor. I want to give you a visual. This little Bible represents very little time in the Word. Maybe you listen to your pastor on Sunday, if you go to church on Sundays. Maybe you listen to a podcast once in a great while. And maybe you open up this thing, I don't know. Maybe you might, well, maybe you open it up once a week, once a month, in your trouble, somebody's in the hospital. Okay, so this is probably what your helmet looks like. It's plastic. It's too small for my head. The enemy can knock it off really easy. Okay, helmet of salvation. But you get what you invest in. If I invest a little bit of the Word, what am I expecting? Big old helmet? I wonder what my sword looks like. The sword of the Spirit. It's the only offensive thing I got. It's equal to the amount of time I put in. I put a little bit in the Word. That's how big my sword is. That means the enemy can get pretty darn close. No, I don't want that. Okay. And it's not about the size of the Bible. I'm just trying to give you a visual. Okay. I spend a lot of time in the Word. Try to spend time daily. Sometimes I go a couple days, don't spend time in the Word, and then I spend 4 hours in the Word. You should be spending time in the Word. Time in the Word. This is your life. This tells you everything about life. It tells you, it's a big love letter from God. Like I've said many a time, when you were dating, or you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and they wrote you a love letter, it didn't matter how big it was, you made sure you read it when they handed it to you. Can you imagine getting a love letter like this? Wow. But you read it. So if you're in the Word a lot, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I am talking about. Thank you, Daniel. Okay? Not only are you not going to knock this off my head, but it's padded. Very good, Maria. Very well protected. And I'm not only no longer conformed to the world, I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. So what am I padded with, right? What am I padded with? Am I padded with the word? So when the enemy comes, is that God or the enemy? Is that God or the enemy? You will know right away. Matter of fact, there are people who have never met God. They are not Christians. And I can give them a word and they can tell me if it's of the devil or God. Workaholic, devil or God? That's right. Love. Hate. Rejection. Envy. Forgiveness. Okay? But we never take the time out to stop and look at the words that are flying into our head. There's constant chatter going on. What station do you have tuned in? It's constant chatter. Now, because I, in the Word, this is my sword, baby. That's what I'm talking about. The sword of the Spirit. Come on. Just step into my realm. And that's how you should feel if the enemy does get in. When he gets his little bony finger in, comes in on the side, it's like, whoa, you're not even allowed on. There's a no trespassing sign. I'm a Christian. You're not even allowed on unless I let you on. So, I need to check with me, right? But if I'm in the Word all the time, this is what my sword looks like, and that's what my helmet looks like. So just a visual to just kind of make you think, you know, where do you think you are? And there's some people who've been walking 30 years with God, and they're right there. And there's some people who've been walking a year with God, and they're right there. Yes, you know, it's like signing up for the Army. Okay, yes, Jesus in your heart, but you don't do boot camp. You got to do the boot camp. Okay, there's boot camp, and you're entering into a war, okay? So what are demons, and what do they look like? Demons are disembodied, unholy angels that represent anything Antichrist. We just went through, I just threw a bunch of words at you. You were able to tell me devil or God, right? So demons are disembodied. They don't have a body for the most part. Unholy angels that represent anything Antichrist. They can think, act, take on form. They cannot read your mind or be in more than one place. But they speak into your mind all the time, okay? They can speak into your mind, but they can't read your mind. They can't read your mind, and they cannot be in more than one place. They're just fallen angels. Okay? Correct. Right. That's exactly right. When you say you're coming out of agreement with a demon, you have to speak it. Is what Maria was saying, that because they can't read your mind, you can't just do it to yourself like this. Now, you can talk to God like that inside your mind, because God can read your mind. But when you're doing warfare, when you're coming out of agreement with the enemy, you do have to speak out loud. And we're going to be getting to that. And so what are demons, and what do they look like? So what are demons? Fear, stress, worry, bitterness, anger, rage, revenge, shame, rejection, envy, sexual perversity, witches, occultism, lying, gossip, nasty talk, divisiveness, coarse joking, unworthiness, laziness, bullying, unforgiveness, depression, oppression, chaos, out of balance with work, friendship, TV, Facebook, texting, or spending money. If you are out of balance with spending money, if you're out of balance with Facebook and texting, you are out of control. You do not have self-control. Self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. And so if you're out of control in that area, that is a sin. It's not an issue. I have an issue with money. No, it's sin. Okay, let's call it for what it is, because when we call them issues, what do with them? Put them on the back burner for later. We need to call the issue a sin. It is what it is. It's a sin. The good news is you're accountable to it. That means you can do whatever you want with it. You don't have to wait. I don't have to wait for my husband to get right, for me to get rid of my junk. When when I realized I could get freedom, there was a lot of demons I was carrying from the sexual abuse. I didn't have to wait for my daddy to get right. He doesn't even have to be alive. I don't have to wait for him to ask for forgiveness. None of that had to happen. It's my accountability. I needed to repent for the unforgiveness I held towards him. I needed to trust God with all that. You see what I'm saying? I had that accountability, and I either wanted those demons out of my life or not. Well, you should stay mad at him, Teresa, that happened to you. And die prematurely of something because I let anger eat me up alive and unforgiveness? No, nobody's worth that. It sounds like a very backwards economy with God, doesn't it? I'm sexually abused. The first thing I have to do is ask for forgiveness for holding anger towards the abuser. Yep, that's how it works. And when you trust him with that, then you take the next step, and then you have to choose to forgive your abuser. The freedom is unbelievable. You don't realize what a prison you're in until the doors are open and the weight is off. Because all these things that I just listed are usually from bad events in your life, all put a wedge between you and God and every single other relationship you have. Do not think for one second that unforgiveness I had towards my dad and what happened there with my dad did not affect my relationship with my husband, with my coworkers, with, okay? That unforgiveness carries all the way through. And the lies that I believed in that event carries through all your relationships. So don't you buy the lie from the enemy that you can just tuck that little thing down here in the corner and you don't have to deal with it. That's a lie from the enemy. And today you're finding out. And so his time is up. So what are we as Christ followers supposed to do about demons? You know, a lot of places don't even teach this stuff. All right? Mark 9:38 says, cast them out. Mark 16:15-18, all who believe, heal, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Not the 12 apostles, not the early church, everybody who believes. I'm a believer, you're a believer. You can lay hands on the sick and they can recover. You can raise the dead and you can cast out demons. Well, if we're supposed to be casting out demons, that means there has to be demons to be cast out. Because some people think that there's no demons. Okay. Luke 10:9-20. That's when Jesus sent out the 72, which there's 12 disciples, apostles, so that means there was 60 other people. 72 people went out. They came back and said, the demons were subject to our name, man. It was so awesome. And he said, don't be so excited about that. Be excited that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, at the end of the day, you're going to be in heaven. That's what you need to be excited about. But they were just so excited that the demons had to listen to them. It's like, it was so cool. We told them to go and they had to go. That's authority we have. That is authority Christians have. But you have to be a Christian, right? You got to be a Christ follower. You remember, what's the name of the guy? There was some, in the Bible, some guys were watching Christ followers doing this. And so they said, oh, that's pretty cool. I'm going to try it. And so they tried to do it, you know. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. The seven sons of Sceva said, you know, come out of you. Demons, come out in Jesus' name. Because they heard everybody say in Jesus' name. And you better say in Jesus' name because your name can't do anything. All right? And it didn't work for them. Because Christ was not in them and they didn't believe in what they were doing. And so the demons said what? Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who the heck are you? And they beat him up and stripped him naked, physically beat them up. So I guess they took on form at that time. Okay, so this is warfare, and just like with any war, it's serious. You got to know your weapons. You got to use your weapons. And if you're in the Word, then all your weapons will be sharp and ready to go and in good working order. Let me see here, talk about Peter, what are Christ followers supposed to do about demons? So, and Peter and Paul, I had put in there about Peter's shadow was healing people, Paul's handkerchief healed people. His handkerchief would touch somebody and they get healed. How amazing is that? This is the authority that we have. And James 4:7 talks about submitting to God and resisting the devil. As Christians, what are we supposed to do about demons? We're supposed to resist them. Not play with them. Not dance with them. You single people, you don't take out a girlfriend or boyfriend and go park down a road that nobody goes down. That's dancing with demons, okay? Get the girl home. You know, if you're going to go from a movie and the movie gets out at 9 o'clock, get her home. Okay? That example always comes up because I just think about when I was doing youth group. So, that's the biggest one is sexual perversity. That's the one that's going to, it's just very, very prevalent. Even amongst Christians. And it's because we do not resist the devil. I had one young lady in our youth group. We told her about being careful and about guarding her heart when she started to date. And she says, I don't struggle in that area. I'll never forget this. She went like, I don't struggle in that area. What do we call that? Pride comes before a... Yeah. And the fallout with all that is there's always somebody watching. There's always somebody learning something from whatever it is that you're doing or you're not doing, okay? So that girl who went off to college had a younger sister. And so when the girl came back from college, on college break, anyway, she fell. She was, I guess the shoes and the clothes were outside and the door was shut and she was in her boyfriend. And the younger sister came home and wasn't supposed to be home. Obviously never opened the door but saw what was on the outside and landed up at our house. My sister's supposed to love Jesus, and this is what I just walked into. So do you see the fallout? And I don't even know if the older sister ever knew that her younger sister walked in, and, you know, we cause people to stumble, don't we, sometimes? So we need to be very careful and resist the devil. Don't dance with him. If you have trouble spending money, you shouldn't have 5 credit cards. You probably shouldn't have any credit cards. You need to work on the cash system. If you have trouble with Facebook, get off of it. If you have trouble getting off the Facebook, then ask somebody to hold you accountable. How serious are you with God? You really don't want to wait until there's an emergency, because then you're just not going to have the wherewithal in you. Are you going to have that fortitude to pull up out of you when when things are bad? Are you really going to believe that the dead can be raised? That we can lay hands on the sick and they can recover? We can cast out a demon, are we? So let's look at deliverance truths. So here it is. Here are deliverance truths. And let me tell you before we start with deliverance truths what deliverance is. Okay. So I'm coming into the, I call Cindy and I ask her if I can come over to her house to see her new baby chicks. And she says, well, I really don't have time today, Terry. Okay. And I get off the phone. And a couple days goes by, and I realize I'm offended. You know, I felt like Cindy blew me off. You know, I just can't do it today, Terry. Why, all I want to do is go look at the chicks. She knows I'm not going to waste her time. I mean, and so all of a sudden, I realize I have an offense. My feelings are hurt. We can say offense, betrayal, mad, whatever I want to say. I'm offended. That still is, it's demonic. This unholy angel is whispering in my ear going, yeah, did you hear? It was her tone of voice, the way she said it to you on the phone. She just felt like you were just, you know, bothering her. Do you see how the chatter goes? Yeah, you were really bothering her. I wonder, do you think you really even have a relationship with her like you used to? I mean, she probably has no time for you at all. She probably had the time, but, you know, just didn't want to bother with you. I'm yada da da da. Okay, so I let that go for a couple of days, and I keep hearing those kind of things. And then I try text her, and she doesn't text me back. Oh, heck. By the way, you guys, there is life outside of text. Okay, I don't text right away. I'm putting that all out there right now.
You don't answer your phone.
Exactly. Okay, no, I knew that was coming. Okay, so, okay. Oh, but, you know, I mean, really, you guys act like the sky is falling. When somebody doesn't answer text right away, Mama Mia. Okay, so she texts me, and I text her and she doesn't answer my text. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now I'm like, now I'm really hurt. Okay. And so now I'm sitting down and I'm thinking about that, And I could just let that go and let life go on, okay, and not do a thing about that. But what I did was I let a demon in, the spirit of offense. It's either God or a demon. I mean, the spirit of offense. I'm offended. Does that sound like God? No, it's a devil, right? Okay, so that unholy angel is yapping in my head until I get him out. Now, he only got in because I let him in. I got offended, okay? Now, it's a couple days in, and I realize I'm offended. I'm trying to do a Bible study, or maybe I'm just washing dishes, or I'm driving down the road, and the Holy Spirit just goes, whoop, you're offended with Cindy. I'm like, oh, I am. Yeah, I guess I am offended with Cindy. Well, you know, the way she said it, it doesn't matter, okay? Okay, repentance is saying you're sorry with no buts on it. You know, I'm sorry I did that, but if you hadn't talked to me like that. Okay, so true repentance is just coming out of agreement with that thing. Changing your mind. Repentance is changing your mind. I realize I've taken on an offense. I now have demonic influence in me now. Yapping in my head. Now I'm going to deliver myself. This is deliverance. Wow, okay, I am offended with Cindy. You know, Father, I repent for holding that offense towards Cindy in my heart these last couple of days. I'm so sorry I did that. And maybe she was rough or rude on the phone, right? And I choose to forgive her for how she talked to me or not sending me to answer my text or whatever. In Jesus' name, I don't want anything to do with offense. Go. In Jesus' name. I just delivered myself. I didn't have to puke in a bucket. My head didn't have to spin around. Some things, now, does that, I've never seen a head spin around, but okay. But sometimes there are things that can get demonstrative. Sometimes things can get physical with the demonic entities, but that's usually when you're, that's a gifting that you have. I've seen it a few times when I've done some deliverance ministries in my office and stuff like that. But it seems to me that one thing I've noticed very much so is that the more I walk in Christ and the more I know my authority, the less they act up. Imagine that. As a matter of fact, if somebody acts up and acts kind of strange in my office, I immediately ask if that's okay with God. Is this okay? Some people need to know that something's coming out of them. Some people just do. They need to kind of, wah! Okay, but otherwise, the more I know my authority, the more it's be quiet, come out quietly. Dry places in Jesus' name. Just like with Jesus. Some came out quietly. Sometimes the man got thrown into the fire, got thrown down. Some came out with a shriek. But that's deliverance, is coming out of agreement with an ungodly emotion and telling it to leave me in Jesus' name. Go to dry places in Jesus' name. Why do I say dry places? Because that's what Jesus said. Good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. He's the one that cast out demons. He told them to go to dry places. And we do. Why do we do it in Jesus' name? Because I can't cast out a flea in my own name, okay? In the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. So I just want to explain what deliverance was before we started, because some people are probably thinking, oh my God, what is deliverance? That's all, that's what, I just delivered myself. Take authority over demons and command them to be quiet in Jesus' name. So that's the step one. Take authority over demons. Now I'm going to give you an example that happened at our church service one time. It's only happened a few times, but this is church, and so you're just going to hear it. Okay. So in the middle of church service, and it was during praise and worship, and there's something to say about praise and worship and about the unity of the brethren. And Pastor Scott asked us to come up front, and just kind of join, kind of come up front and worship together. And we were, and then he said, just turn to somebody to your left or right and just pray over them. And so we did, and I was standing right there, and there was somebody over there, and I was just praying with this person. And as soon as that broke up, I glanced over and I looked at this girl, and those beautiful blue eyes went black. I mean, literally, her blue eyes went black. And I thought, oh, heck. And I started to walk, and she was on the floor like a snake before I could even get to her. And some of y'all, probably a lot of y'all, know that because you were here for it. So that was a physical manifestation of an unholy angel inside of that young lady, okay? And he's trying to make a scene. And so I immediately went and said to Lord, is this okay? No, it's not. And I said, sit still and be quiet in Jesus' name. And she's on the floor already because she was on the floor acting like she's like a snake on the floor. And she stopped. Then I did step two. I want to talk to Jane Doe, first and last name, in Jesus' name. And she looked at me and she said, yes. What? Okay. Then I asked her, do you want to be free? Obviously, a demon had manifested itself. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free from your rejection? Do you want to be free from your unforgiveness towards your parents 20 years ago? Do you want to be, you see what I'm saying? Do you want to be free from your fear of going to the dentist? Do you want to be free from your divisiveness, your coarse joke, and your nasty mouth? Because if you don't want to be free, what's this right here? Ask him or her if they want to be free. Yes, proceed. No, go. That means go. Go home. I don't want to be free. Okay. I'm going to walk away. What the heck? You have, that's your gifting, Teresa, is discernment of spirits. You're not going to cast those demons out. Not if they don't want them out. God love them too much. What happens if you don't want the demon out and I cast them out? They'll come back seven times worse. Seven more demons. It'll go because I have authority. It'll leave. When I say get out and go to dry places in Jesus' name, it'll go because of the authority of Christ in me. But then it goes around and it gets seven worse than itself and comes back and finds that person's house clean, which I always thought was kind of weird. What does that mean? Clean house was always meant good to me, but not in the Bible. Okay, and there, clean house means you didn't fill it up with the Word of God. You're not a Christian. You're not a believer. You're not filling it up with the Word of God, and seven demons come back in. Well, yeah, you have to, right. You have to, you're either on fire or you're cold. There is no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. So when you're doing warfare and you're casting out something like, you know, an offense you have and stuff like that, you got to make sure you're filled with God. Now, the demons can't come back in me because I fill my house with God. I'm a Christ follower, okay? But I'm dealing with somebody here in the middle of a church service that's on the ground. I don't know if them, you know, I might know them from Adam's house cat, you know, and I've got to sit there and find out, do you want to be free? Because the person laying on the ground, trust me, knew that there was something in them. Okay? They didn't go on the ground on their own accord. All right? They were embarrassed. They were befuddled. And I said, do you want to be free? Yes. Then I proceed. If they say no, I'm leaving it alone. Three, if they want to be free, share the gospel. Now, the session we had Sunday, I actually did it. I did this. I did these steps, which we're going to do. If we have a volunteer tonight, we're going to do the same thing. I'm giving an example of what happened Sunday. It was somebody who's only come for two of the sessions. She found out about our church, showed up. So I said, is there anybody who wants to volunteer to go through these steps to show you that it works? It's not just me. It's God's word. And we're working the word. So she said, yes, I have some stuff I'd like to get rid of. I have some envy and jealousy I'd like to get rid of. So I pulled my chair over. Now, I don't know her. So I went through and I said, the person needs to know his freedom or her freedom can only come through Jesus Christ. Tell them how Christ died on the cross for their sins by accepting his sacrifice, repenting for their sin, choosing to submit to Christ, that every demonic claim will be canceled if they choose to believe in Jesus Christ. They choose to ask him into their heart. Make sure they understand they are surrendering to Jesus. Prayer of salvation, do a prayer of salvation with them. So I asked that lady, because I did not know her. I went right through and did that. Matter of fact, I had people reading it. Read it. What's it say to ask next? What's it say to ask next? You don't have to have your eyes closed to do a deliverance. You don't have to have your eyes closed to pray to God. Okay? He knows your heart. And if I, listen, maybe so you've never done a deliverance, and all of a sudden you find yourself one day, somebody's going, I got something in me, I want it out. It's okay to pull this out and use it. It's okay. So I asked her if she believed in Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Yes. Number four, person is now required to forgive everyone he has unforgiveness towards, no exceptions. So I said to her, is there anybody, when I use the word unforgiveness, that pops in your mind, bam, two people. Are you willing to forgive them for whatever they did? So that you can receive your healing. You can receive your deliverance. Yes. So I walked her through. I repent for holding unforgiveness in my heart towards Jane and John. Okay? And I choose today to forgive them in Jesus' name. Now, when I had her repenting for the anger stored in her heart, I had to make sure she understood that was sin. You do understand why it's... I was mad at my dad for 20-something years before I got healed of him abusing me, okay? It's okay to be angry. There was a righteous anger when he violated me. God hated what he did. But once I took that anger and the sun went down on it, it then became sin to me. You cannot take anger and then store it into your heart towards somebody. Does that make sense? Hanging on to anger, letting the sun go down on your anger like I did. So for 20 years, I stored that unforgiveness in my heart for what my dad did. So the first thing I had to do was repent for the unforgiveness I stored in my heart. I built a huge root, big old tree of bitterness, right? 20 years. And demons made sure they added to that tree. Over and over, I'm sure I had big branches coming off of it and everything else. Okay, but I pulled that thing right out of there in Jesus' name. Okay, so I had her repent for any unforgiveness she had. I had her choose to forgive them in Jesus' name. And then we went to the next thing. Ask person to tell you what doors to ungodly emotions are opened in their life. She had already told me. Envy and jealousy. You ready to deal with that envy and jealousy? Is there a specific person? Yes, specific person. Okay, you willing to name them? Yep, okay. And I had to repent for any envy and jealousy towards that person. Person must be willing to repent for any of their own sin, forgive others, and lay the lies they believe about themselves at the feet of Jesus. She was envious towards a person, and that made her feel really small. So she repented for the envy and jealousy, and we asked the Lord, she feels really small, Lord. She just feels small. Can you minister to her? That was it. Then number 7, I asked her, may I touch you? Yes. So I held her hands, because I actually pulled this chair right up to her, and I held her hands. And this was all done in front of the whole class. And I asked for the Holy Spirit to come in, and those dark places that were in her heart, because anything that's not of God's dark, right? There's light and there's dark. So that unforgiveness she had, that envy and jealousy that she had, let's fill it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Fill it with the fruit of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, just have your way. Fill those cracks and those empty spots right now in her heart. And that was it. She goes, well, I feel so much lighter. Now, when I said, is there anybody here who wants to volunteer, blah, 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 and she said, well, I have a little envy and jealousy that I would like to deal with. I'm doing good. I become a scaredy cat or whatever. I feel uncomfortable with that. I don't know. I'm just making this up as I go, okay? So she says, I have a little envy and jealousy, and I just blow it off and say, well, you know what? When you get home tonight, you go ahead and walk through these things. And then we all get up, and Cindy's sitting there going, that ain't right. We got an open door right now. We have a doggone open door. That girl just gave us an open door, and Teresa's not taking that open door. What the hey? Okay, and so I go. I'm packing up. I'm leaving. Everybody else is leaving. The girl's still sitting over there just kind of like numb, and it's stirring up in you. You're stirred, man, and I walk out. I'm done. I'm walking out talking to everybody else, and you're stirred. You the man. You the woman. You take this little thing, and you go over there, and you let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. Let's get rid of that envy and jealousy. You see what I'm saying? There may come a time, just because it's not your gifting doesn't mean that you can't do it, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And so sometimes, you know what? We're just going to miss it. Things like that get missed. I can't. If I had a quarter for every time somebody came in my room, my office, where they were in a ladies' women's group or they were at a home group and shared their guts, and the person went, oh, okay, next. Never ministered to them. Never did anything. Left it open-ended. Do you think that person's ever going to share their guts again? They just went, bleh. And they, oh, next. Wow. Come on, my body of Christ. At least listen and then respond some way. Maybe you don't even know how. Well, then go grab somebody who does know how, but minister. Sometimes you just got to open your mouth. And the Holy Spirit will give it to you, okay? So, those who deliver, that's how you deliver yourself, okay? I don't have to go through steps one and two with my and three with myself, okay? Right? All right? But these are deliverance truths. These are truths that you can apply to anything in your life. I did this all the time with my boys growing up when they had conflict at school. All the time. I'm sorry, hurting people hurt people. They said what to you? What did you say back? Well, I told him, and I'd say, did what you say make them feel like Jesus was in the room? No. Then they knew what was coming. It's like, Mom, really? Don't you ever get mad at anybody? Now, do you think my mommy hairs were up on the back of my neck during that time? Of course they were. I don't like to see my boys being treated wrong or being bullied or whatever. But I'm sort of raising them the way they should go. I need to teach them how to respond appropriately. They are not in control with how that person is. They are controlling how they responded. And so I held them accountable to their response. How did you respond? Did that make that person feel like Jesus? No. Well, that person's, you know, rude and a jerk. And hurting people hurt people. That's what they do. Hurting people hurt people. You know what? Let's just pray right now for that person that hurt you, Brett or Ryan. And sometimes they pray with me. Most of the time they roll their eyes at me. I can't believe she's praying for them. Really? Okay. Now, all that being said, if there was bodily harm or, you know, I really thought there was some harm being done there, I would obviously go to the school and take care of business and make sure that person got taken, you know, that there was some kind of responsibility put on there. But we have to teach our children life circumstances. Because as adults, how do you think they're going to respond? Right? All right, so that being said, does anybody have anything? Is there any volunteer that has maybe something there they want to get rid of? Maybe you dealt with the occultism and you've never gotten rid of it. What do I mean by that? Or fear. Occultism would be Ouija board, Dungeons and Dragons, 8-ball, palm reading, horoscope, tarot cards, thank you. Oh, yeah, I used to levitate people. Yeah, we used to levitate people, levitate them off the ground. Listen, the demonic realm is real. Those things are all real, and okay? But they come from the wrong realm. You don't want to be messing with those things. That's the demonic realm. So if you've messed with those things and have never officially repented for that and told a spirit of occultism to go to dry places in Jesus' name, the spirit of occultism is still in you, around you, harassing you, whatever you want to call it. Can't touch your spirit, but they can harass your mind and all that kind of stuff. So that would be an example. Yeah, and let me say this too, is that casting out demons. In the name of Jesus! Demons are not hard of hearing, for crying out loud. Why do we do this? For goodness sake. Yeah, hear it all the time. We get louder and louder and louder, like, and that's probably because we're scareder and scareder and scareder. Okay, inside we're freaking out, okay? We can't do that, okay? You are in control. They are not. And if you don't think you've got the control, then find somebody who does have that authority. And if you're the only one in the room and God is, and that person is manifesting in front of you, God is going to give you what you need right then and there. Just open your mouth. Just open your mouth. That happened to Brett. Have you cast out demons out of somebody since then? No, Starbucks parking lot. Delivered somebody, some lady he never met. And he gave you the words as it happened. He says, there are a lot of people looking through the glass window at Starbucks, looking out in the parking lot. He delivered somebody. What? It set them free. What the hey? That's what I'm talking about. Okay, and it wasn't his gifting. But he opened his mouth, and he dared to open his mouth. He thought, this is just unfolding here. I got to do something with it. Okay, Any takers? Anybody want to get rid of something? Don't have to, but I want to make the offer. One question that the lady had that God delivered on Sunday was, can they come back? She goes, can that envy and jealousy come back? I said, great question. Yes. When you cast it out, it is now out of you. Okay, so Cindy just cast out envy and jealousy. Okay, so it was in her because she allowed it in, but she's just cast it out. So now, a minute from now, an hour from now, or a year from now, 10 years from now, whatever. She's like, oh, heck no. I know who you are. That'd be a big no. No room in this inn. Actually, they don't knock on that. They knock on your head, right? Hey, can I come in? Remember me? Remember me? No. When you start to apply these principles, what will happen is, like right now, there's a lot of you guys that have some unforgiveness and some rejection. I know that by the Spirit. Okay? And some of you have had it for a long time. Once you start realizing that you are the one that can set you free, how do you think I got free? I got my total freedom with me and God in a closet. Fighting for months going, I know I have the right to victory because I'm a king's kid and I'm going to stay here until you bless me, until you show me how to do this thing. And he just showed me. And then he sent me to a seminar that just kind of reinforced what I was already doing for a year. I was deep healing people for a year, delivering people for a year, and then I went to a seminar that said, yeah, yes, like a stamp of approval, but yes, you're doing it right, hallelujah. Okay, I knew I was because I never put a sign out. People just started coming. Okay, but that's just the body of Christ. People come on Sunday to hear Pastor Scott preach. People hear about me delivering people, and they just come. They just call. I get lots of texts that say, you don't know me, but. You don't know me, but. God knows you. God knows you. And you can deliver yourself. And what will happen is, as you start to know your authority, you're going to get rid of things that have been in there for 10, 15 years. And what you're going to start to learn is, not only do these ungodly emotions put a wedge between you and God, they make you physically and emotionally sick. That's a proven fact. I think that's why God has me in this, because I'm a nurse. Okay? So the stress hormone, cortisol, is released when you are tied up in fear, envy, jealousy, anger, bitterness. They all release too much cortisol. Cortisol is the culprit behind 80%, Dr. Carolyn Leaf wrote the book too, saying the same thing. 80% of disease processes are sin-based. Fear or unforgiveness are usually the two culprits. So what you're going to do is you'll find out, you know what, I can go home tonight and get rid of this unforgiveness that I've had. Maybe it's towards yourself. I don't know. Maybe you're mad at yourself for something you did. Okay? And you walk through this, and then you're going to start learning that, wait a minute, I don't want to be sick. I don't like being sick over somebody. I mean, if I'm mad at somebody, it's only hurting me. It's not hurting the person over there. All that unforgiveness I had towards my dad didn't hurt my dad, it hurt me. So you get physically and emotionally sick. In the For Your Health seminar, we teach that, and we actually give you lots of disease processes with the sin that goes with them. For instance, arthritis. Any autoimmune problem is an autoimmune problem. It's a disease that the body's attacking itself. Okay? So what do you think is behind that? If the body's attacking itself, good job, Dana McCarty. Self-hatred. You hate yourself, there's a good chance that you could get an autoimmune disease if you do not get rid of it, because you're releasing you're taking yourself out of homeostasis. There's a specific amount of chemicals that are supposed to be released in your body. Too much bad, too little bad, okay? And cortisol is there for you to get out of the way of a Mack truck coming down the road, okay? But other than that, you know what I'm saying? We don't need lots of cortisol. You guys have probably heard that word now. It used to be very foreign, but that's the big word flying through the internet now, is cortisol. So a lot of disease processes are people needing to get rid of their junk, and their disease will go away. And in the four-year health seminar, we've had many a testimony of arthritis leaving because somebody got rid of their self-hatred or envy and jealousy is rottenness to the bones, bone problems, this person, okay? I had somebody ask me in the emergency room. It was a believer. He found it quite interesting because he said something. I said, can I pray with you about that? And he goes, yeah, absolutely. And then, I don't know, God showed me something. I said, you got some unforgiveness towards so-and-so? And he's like, how'd you know that? I didn't. I was God. Okay, that led into what giftings do I have? And then we start talking about deliverance ministry. And he says, what's behind diabetes? And I said, usually daddy issues that are unresolved. My mama hasn't talked to her daddy in 20 years. I'm going to go tell my mama that. She's a believer. Now, I know this is a guy in the emergency room. He just goes and tells that little bit of truth to his, I don't know, a year later. Kentucky Fried Chicken, I'm somewhere like that. This guy comes up to me and he goes, you're that ER nurse. And I said, and I'm thinking, I don't know who you are. Okay. And I said, yes. And then he told me, he says, I'm the guy you talk to. And I went home and I told my mom about the diabetes and she got right with her dad and all her numbers came down and she got off insulin. The only thing she did different was got her issue right with her daddy. That's pretty amazing. I think that's pretty amazing. So, all right. So there's no takers. This is God's. It's truths that I've just applied. Yes. Do I feel comfortable with that? Yes. Is it a gifting? Yes. But anybody can do this. Thank you for that's a good point. Yes, when you're repenting for things, I talk out loud. When in doubt, talk out loud. Exactly. Demons cannot read your mind. So when we do the four-year health seminar, I tell people when I'm walking by your rooms, when you're in there with God, I should hear a little something going on, okay? Because you're not supposed to, right? Sometimes you hear a lot of things going on, but you know you should be speaking out loud. You don't have to scream; they're not hard of hearing. But you do need to speak as He did, like He did. That's a good point that you made, Eric. I think I gave that example at the last session. Okay. So Brett was 10 years old at the time. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I heard some walking. Well, kind of like running. And it was around our pool table. I got up, and he was literally pacing around the pool table, and he had this look on his face, and he said, things are really far away, Mom. They're very far away. So anybody acts zoned out like that, that's demonic. Okay, that's not God. Okay, and he's pacing, and he looks scared, and I said, what's going on? Things are just really far away, and I'm scared. And I said, did you call on Jesus? Yes, and he did not answer me. Okay, moms and dads, what do you do with that one? Yeah, exactly. First, I panicked. First, I'm like, oh, my God, now what do I do? Okay, but I was like, get your act together, Teresa. Okay, so immediately, no, he didn't answer me. God will always answer you unless... He will not wait. He will not wait through your sin to come minister to you. And the number one block to healing is always unforgiveness. So he said, no, he didn't answer me. I said, oh, so do you have any, by the way, he's still pacing around the table where I'm doing this at 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, do you have any unforgiveness in your heart? No, Mom, no. And I'm thinking he probably doesn't know what unforgiveness means. He's 10. Okay. Then I said, are you mad at anybody? No. Do you have any anger toward anybody? No. And then I said, do you hate anybody? Yes. I hate so-and-so because she makes fun of me in children's church. He's still pacing around. And I said, are you willing to tell God you're sorry for holding that hate in your heart towards her? And are you willing to forgive her? Because if you do not, this does not can stay. The fear does not have to leave. So I walked him through a prayer in his language at 10 years of age, and I said, you're sorry for all that, holding all that anger in your heart all this time? Yes. But then say that. I'm sorry, God, for all. And he did, and I said, okay. And now you're choosing to forgive so-and-so for treating you like that in children's church? Yeah, and he did. And as soon as he did, it was literally instantly. He stopped walking. He went, Mom, I said, tell fear to go in Jesus' name. He went, you do it. I said, no, it's your fear. You tell fear to go. He went, fear, go to dry places in Jesus' name. And it was done. Total peace and calm. Yeah. And you used to have stuffy nose, real bad stuff. And ever since then, by the way, all allergies are fear-based, just so you know. That's why we threw that in. So he not only received an emotional healing, he received a physical healing. And that was a deliverance. I happened to be pacing around a table at the time, okay? It doesn't have to be sitting down in a chair like this. Like I said, you know, there's times we've done things like that just as they're being tucked into bed, you know? Can you, it sounds like you're angry at so-and-so at school. You want to let go of that anger because that's just not of God. You just need to let that go because all it does is hurt you. It really, you know, it releases bad things into your body, okay? Besides the fact God is, he can't forgive you if you don't forgive. And that's deliverance. You're just doing it everyday stuff. I can remember when Brett said to me, because I've never been delivered. I said, you've been delivered half a dozen times. You just, I'm delivering you now, Brett. Okay, you know, it just happens as a mom, you know, as a mom and a dad, when you're raising your children in the way they should go. Circumstances come up, and you teach them how to deal with those circumstances in a godly way. Let's. Exact, right, because your unforgiveness, I know what you're saying, because when I make this statement that, you know, it's not just hurting, what he said, it's not just hurting himself. You are hurting everybody around you. Don't think for a minute that if you have, you're at odds with somebody, like Scott being at odds with his siblings, you bet it affects the relationship with me, the relationship with his sons, even his ministry. Because when you have unforgiveness in your heart, you are in direct rebellion to God's word. He mandates you to forgive. I know. Right. But I'll tell you what, you know, they're real. And once they come on you, like Pastor Scott was saying before, the longer they brew, the harder they are to get rid of sometimes. It feels good to be angry. I remember one time Pastor Scott offended me. I don't remember what it was. He said something. It wasn't 10 minutes. I went to go do a Bible study at the computer. And couldn't see a thing on that darn computer. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you have an offense towards your husband. And I'm like, oh, I guess I do. And the Holy Spirit just showed me that. That means deal with it, Teresa. And I'm like, no, I want to do this Bible study instead. Oh, how hypocritical is that? Okay, I'm going to do a Bible study instead of let go of the offense towards my husband. No, you're not. And so I literally could not see anything on the computer. And finally, hello, should have had a V8. It was a couple minutes into it. Why can't I get this thing pulled up on the computer? I can't find it. And he's like, will you get rid of your offense that you have towards your husband?
You necessarily don't have to go to your husband.
Right. Him. Unless he tells you to. Right. Let it go. That's exactly right. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for, Father, you're just a good God. And Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, that showing us what our authority is, Father God, and that you use us, to cast out demons, raise the dead, and heal people. That's what I'm talking about, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I ask right now for a spirit of boldness to be released on us as we just chew on these last six sessions and continue to digest, and being in the Word that, Lord, you're going to give us opportunities to lay hands on the sick, on the dead, or to cast out demons. Father, start with us. Start with ourselves. Going home in our own quiet time, getting rid of some stuff. Because there's some words on there that I know we can all relate to. That we need to circle and get rid of off that list. Father, thank you for showing us that these are not issues, they're sin. And if sin is rebellion against you, God, and we want to be in a place of authority and closeness, so that we can hear your heart, see with your eyes, and hear with your ears. We want you to be able to entrust us with all that you have. You want to. We say, Lord, just cleanse us. Thank you so much. And everybody said, amen. Amen.